And my special guest tonight in the studio, all the way from New York City, is the great Adrian Cunningham. You're almost a veteran these days, Adrian.
With the flights, mate, the frequent flyer points are stacking up, I tell you.
The fact that you only recorded this when you arrived here around 3 weeks ago.
Well, I got in on Tuesday morning, what was it, the 26th, something like 25th or 26th, and we did a six-hour rehearsal Tuesday afternoon and evening. Then I slept for about 10 hours, and then the following Wednesday and Thursday, we recorded 2 full 8-hour days. So literally, yeah, from being off the plane straight into recording and rehearsing mode, you know, it was good. Not enough time to stop and think, geez, I'm jet-lagged.
This is your group that must be together, what, over 10 years now?
I think it's 7 or 8. Probably 8.
Bill Risby, the piano. Gordon Rittmeister, the drums. That's Dave, right. Putney, the bass.
Correct, yeah.
And these guys, you know, they're just sounding terrific on this recording. It's called Walkabout.
That's right. Really, this is a combination of songs that I have written that started just before I left to go overseas. So the beginning of 2008, I left in March, so probably January, February, I wrote the first song, which is called What I Can't Take With Me. Bit of a nostalgic thing about what I'm leaving behind and all the people and et cetera. So a little bit of a, you know, a bit of a nice little sad song. And then it just went from there. Then I continued to write ever since I left. So it really comes down to all the traveling experiences I had. There's a song about Brazil. I went to Carnival in Brazil, which was spectacular. So I wrote a song called Dancing Into the Sun, you know. So they're all, it's like musical postcards of all things that happened to me. There's a song I wrote about Barcelona, which is one of the my most favorite cities that I visited since I've been away. So it really, and the you know, I thought about Walkabout is kind of, obviously it's a traditional Aboriginal term, but it's a little more colloquial these days. So I wanted to make it feel like, you know, it's this kind of this journey that I've been on ever since I left, and now I'm coming back to record as kind of a coming home thing. So all the things I've done since I've been gone, you know.
These days, based in New York City for what, three and a half years now.
Yeah.
You're obviously now well established there. Tangibly, how do you see your career now compared to, say, 3 years ago there?
Well, I kind of live a little bit of a parallel life, I guess, because I come back here and I feel like I'm still building on what I had before I left, which is great, which was my aim. You know, what I really would love is to have, you know, to be able to go and base myself in New York, but to be able to come home and continue a great performing life here. And which I, you know, to a certain point I have been able to do, minus the jet lag and the long hours of traveling, but it's great to be able to come back and to be able to touch base with the old band and continue to play and perform and to do lots of other projects. So I love that I can still have a base here because it gives me a chance to, doesn't give me a chance to miss Australia because I come back a few weeks twice a year. So I love that. And what I'm doing is I'm building a base in New York City now. I'm starting to kind of come about of my own and to do some really wonderful gigs. It's fantastic. I'm doing a couple of great tours coming up. For example, I'm playing with Ken Poplowski, a wonderful clarinet player who was actually, I played saxophone in one of Benny Goodman's big bands. He's running his own Benny Goodman kind of group. He's such a virtuosic clarinet player, and he's running a great big band that are touring Japan, and I'm in that band. Wow. There's some players from the Vanguard Orchestra in that, which is wonderful. Then I'm also doing a tour in November of London with Wycliffe Gordon, one of the world's great trombone players.
Fantastic.
And he has a band that's it's part of the Lincoln Center doing a project. He's composed a score to a Silent Louis Armstrong film, so I'm playing in that. So they're just two things, which opportunities over there are just so good to be able to play with musicians of this caliber, you know.
Yes.
So I'm really loving it.
Yeah.
Having a ball. Well, that's the thing about New York. It's like it really is such a world hub.
Yes.
You know, and the successful musicians do that. They base themselves in New York and you do your little crappy club gigs, which don't pay that great. But the profile musicians spend, you know, their summers touring Europe and make good money, then come back to New York and continue to build what they have.
Not to mention all the jazz festivals that take place across the states.
That's true. Well, that's an industry in itself, you know. There's New York Jazz Festival with George Wein is fantastic. I don't know if George is still running that anymore. But yeah, there's a ton in New York already, and upstate New York, and then there's the Jazz Cruises, which is another thing altogether, and they run all the time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff going on. It's really wonderful.
Being away from Australia for 3.5 years now, coming back periodically, but is it giving you a bit of an insight as to what is it about the Australian sound that makes it perhaps different to other areas or other regions?
That's a really tough one to answer. I don't know if I've been around long enough to really qualify a good answer with that. Australia certainly has its own thing, I tell you. And what I've really embraced about New York is the tradition of jazz. You know, that's what I love. I love where it's come from, the culture of where it comes from. And jazz just makes sense in the States, and specifically New York, you know, with African-American culture. It really is a part of who they are. So Australia is an interesting anomaly, isn't it? Because we're so far from everything. We've embraced this music, which culturally maybe makes a little more sense because we're more Americanized than we used to be. But you know, in the 50s and 60s, it was so foreign to US culture. I don't really know. I don't know if I'm qualified to answer that. What I do find with myself is I'm taking more of that tradition in my playing and my sound and my approach to the music, not just historically, although I really love the full spectrum of the music from, you know, Bechet onwards, but, you know, the contemporaries today who are still performing, you know, the great players of New York City who we all know that are still doing it, you know. So I'm trying to, I really moved to New York to embrace that and to jump into that. And hopefully that's come out with who I am, and I can bring some of that with me to my own band, you know, because I really love this quartet. As we said, we've been together for nearly 8 years. So to be able to continue to evolve that, hopefully with what I've learned from over there, is my aim, you know.
The Roger Frampton piece that you chose to play on this, The Sun, the Lotus and the Swan. And he's one of these types of Australians, the late Roger Frampton, that had that special Australiana sort of sound. It was very unique. I think it was it Lee Konitz who famously at the Basement said, "Do you realise what you got here?" Pointing at Roger Frampton.
Really? Wow.
So it's
Well, he's jazz for jazz. He's a national. He performed with Roger. They played. Yeah, they're fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Roger is one of those people that is so larger than life, and you hear so many stories about his wackiness and his, you know, his genius. I mean, he's just contributed so much. So that's something that, you know, I mean, I'm far from doing is being a real part of jazz history, anything like that. You know, I certainly humble myself with guys like that, but hopefully one day. But Roger is talking prolific. I mean, he's written so many incredible tunes and has been recorded by so many people, you know. The album was done with a string quartet as well.
Oh, is that
so,
right?
So, yeah, I started a project writing for strings a couple of years ago, and we performed at the Basement, and I wanted to nail some of those tunes down and put some other ones on. So we got a great string quartet doing about half of the album, and I wanted to do them more of a concept of almost a big band where the strings are writing figures rather than just lush things like, say, Bird with Strings. I wanted to have something a little more visceral. So this is maybe not the best example of that, but there's certainly some strings going on here, so...